1 Corinthians 15th chapter. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sin. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead.
Maybe to most of you, but if you would, just please stand. I'd like to share with you a message, and I know it's not Easter Sunday. It looks a little more like Easter out there to me, without the white stuff on the ground. And I didn't feel tempted to sing Christmas carols as I was last Sunday. It is the week after Resurrection Sunday, but I want us to focus on the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, if you have your Bibles. You might want to open them there to chapter 15 and beginning at verse 13. And we're going to consider this question that the Apostle Paul asked, if there is no resurrection. There is no teaching of Scripture more ridiculed than the teaching of the resurrection. I think because a lot of people think it's like a fairy tale, that it's based upon very flimsy evidence of, you know, some kind of emotional people. And there are all kinds of criticisms of this doctrine, even among those who profess a faith in the Christian faith. But I want us to think about this question posed by the Apostle Paul, if there is or if there be no resurrection. I believe the resurrection is the most important teaching of Scripture. I looked up the word resurrection in my concordance and I compared it with the occurrences of the word cross. And actually, the word resurrection appears more times in the New Testament than the word cross. Now, I'm not suggesting that the cross is not important, but sometimes I think we forget about what came after the cross. I've seen many movies on the life of Jesus, and most of them make very little of the resurrection, kind of as an afterthought, kind of as if, well, you can believe it or not. Just kind of take your pick. But it's not something that is optional. And I want us to consider this morning three precious possessions we would not have if there were no resurrection. And Paul lists them here in chapter 15 and beginning at verse 13, where he asks the question, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. Apparently there were those there in Corinth who were like the Sadducees, who did not believe in a resurrection. And I don't know that they were Sadducees. I think they were called Christian Sadducees. And I think we have them today. They're sad, you see, because they don't believe in the resurrection. So they're well named. But I want us just, if we could, just to bow in a word of prayer together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this privilege that we have to share it together this morning. Thank you for this time that I trust you've warmed our hearts through a worship and praise of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, just bless your word as we share it and apply it to our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The first precious possession that we would not have if there is no resurrection is the person of the resurrection. Because, again, listen to what Paul writes here. He said, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. But I want us to focus on that thought there, the person of the resurrection. I've studied some other religions. I've never been anything but a Baptist, really. I was born in a Baptist home, but I wasn't always a Christian. I had to be born again, just like all of you. But I've not been a follower of another faith, but I have studied some other faiths. And I know that Muslims believe that Muhammad was ascended to heaven. But it's not based upon the historical proof that we find in the Gospels. And to my knowledge, there's no other person like this Jesus. I've studied or read in Greek mythology that there was a man by the name of Adonis who was a handsome young shepherd, and he was loved by Aphrodite, the goddess of love and beauty. Already you know that this has to be a fairy tale. The offspring of a love affair between King Cinyras of Cyprus and the daughter of Myrrha, Adonis was born in the trunk of the myrtle tree into which his mother had been changed by the gods. Well, that's just an example from Greek mythology. And there's the mythical example of Quetzalcoatl of the Aztecs and Baal of the Canaanites, who were connected with debauchery and pagan rituals, including human sacrifice. There's just nothing like the Christian gospel, the resurrection, that is really based upon historical proof. I would encourage you to do as Frank Morrison, an English journalist, did, who set out to disprove the resurrection of Jesus. And he was so overwhelmed by the facts of the resurrection that he could not contradict it. And he wrote a book with the title, Who Moved the Stone? I would encourage you to read it. But there's no person of the resurrection if there is no resurrection of the dead, Paul said. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. I want us to ponder for a moment His promise. Jesus said the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. There are some who say, well, Jesus didn't really teach that, did He? He didn't really teach that He was going to rise again from the dead. This was just a concoction of the beliefs of His followers. No, He did say that He would rise again from the dead. Said it very plainly. So we have the promise of Jesus. We also have His power in that promise. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, Paul said that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of Jesus, or by the resurrection from the dead. And he went on to say in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, that I may know Him, he said. My desire is to know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. See, that some people want to take the power out of the Christian faith. Take the power out of our faith in Jesus. If you don't believe in the resurrection, I don't believe you can be saved. Because that proved who Jesus was, the mighty Son of God. So we have no person of the resurrection if we believe that there is no resurrection. We don't have His promise. We don't have His power. We don't have His primacy, which means He's the head. It says that in Colossians 1:18. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. That goes back to Genesis chapter 1. He's the Creator, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. If there is no resurrection, there is no person of the resurrection. I know one may argue that if there is no resurrection, Jesus was still a great teacher of moral principles. But I believe rather He was a liar if there was no resurrection, because He said so plainly that He would rise again from the dead. He was a charlatan if there is no resurrection. But praise God, Christ is risen. Also, we would have no preaching of the resurrection. Some would say, well, that might be a blessing. But I don't think so. Why would we be here this morning? We wouldn't be here at all if there were no resurrection. And there's an objection to that preaching of the resurrection. There's a school of thought that even without the resurrection, we would have a message to proclaim, a message of love and good works. And, you know, talk about God. God is love. There's a lot that we could talk about without the resurrection. But I would submit that none of those things would be meaningful were it not for the resurrection. We wouldn't even know that if God existed, because it was God's power that raised Jesus from the dead. There's an abjection, if you will. An abjection is something contemptible. Now, Paul says here in verse 15, if he did not rise again, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Before that, he said, our preaching is useless and so is your faith. That's in verse 14. More than that, we are found to be false witnesses about God if we have testified about God that He raised Christ from the dead. So, the preaching is contemptible, Paul said. It's of the most contemptible kind. They were pseudo-martyrs, which means false witnesses, if there was no resurrection. You see how important it was to the Apostle Paul. And there's also a rejection of that preaching, or of this idea that the preaching is futile, the preaching of the resurrection. Without the resurrection, the crucifixion of Christ is the greatest tragedy of history. And without the resurrection, we would have no good news to tell. Now, I hear some people talking like that. Well, you know, what a great tragedy it was that an innocent man was condemned to die and to suffer such as he did. But I say rather that that was God's purpose. He came to die for you and for me. And when He rose again from the dead, it proved that He was who He said He was, the mighty Son of God. And we would have no good news to tell without the resurrection. The gospel is good news because, and only because, of the resurrection of Christ. If you read the New Testament, you'll find that this is what the Apostle Paul and the other apostles majored on in their preaching, the resurrection of Jesus. I believe every time we meet together, we ought to celebrate that fact that Jesus is risen and He is with us and in us and He wants to work through us. Without the resurrection, there's no prospect of the resurrection, obviously. And that no prospect means, first of all, that there's no forgiveness here. Would you look with me at the scripture passage again there again? In verse 16 it says, if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Now, I don't quite understand that finished work of Christ on the cross could be nullified if Christ were not risen. But that's what the Bible says, that we are still in our sins if there is no resurrection. I don't know about you, but That's a scary thought for me. Because I know the kind of person I am. I know the kind of heart I have. I know people who say, well, you've got a good heart, preacher. Or you wouldn't be a preacher. But you don't really know me. Because my heart is like that heart that Jeremiah described when he said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So without that resurrection, there's no forgiveness here. And I think that means that if you don't believe that Christ is risen, then you cannot be forgiven of your sins. But there's also no family in heaven if there is no resurrection. Now, my old dad went to be with the Lord about a year ago. I think almost 2 years ago. Was it 2 years? Yeah, I think. 2 years this October. You know, as you get older, the years tend to fly by. Although that event, very traumatic in many ways. As any of you know, they've lost a loved one. And my dad was a preacher, and he was a wonderful Christian man. My wife's father also passed away about 8 years ago, was it? About 6 years ago. And he was a wonderful Christian man. And I've had many. I have an uncle in heaven. Some of you have children who have died, as infants perhaps. And you know that you're going to see them again in heaven. There's going to be a resurrection, the Bible says. And we're going to be in those of us who have trusted in Jesus Christ as our Savior, we're going to see our loved ones again when we get to heaven. And I think we're going to have plenty of time. It's not going to be like here where, you know, we go and, you know, for a weekend and see our loved ones and then, you know, they push us out the door. And no, they don't push us out, but you know, we got to get back. And but we'll have all kinds of time to meet and to fellowship together. What a wonderful reunion that will be when we get to heaven. And I know we'll be saddened by those that are not there, but we can draw comfort from the fact that we have a family in heaven. But without that resurrection, there's not only no forgiveness here and no family in heaven, but there is no future hereafter. Notice again what it says here in verse 18. It says, those who have fallen asleep, then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only in this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied above all men. What a terrible thought. But Christ came to give us that assurance that we will be like Him, the Bible says, because we will see Him as He is. When Jesus rose again from the dead, He was in a body. Because it was a body that could be touched and handled. It was even in a body that ate food. Now that's comforting to some of you that like to eat food. The Bible says we're going to have a feast when we get into heaven. And we're going to have all of the delights here, but much more. I mean, it's going to be a beautiful place. I know Wild Terrace is beautiful. And in the springtime, when is that? October? Or maybe one day a year we have a day like that. And then, of course, we have some summer days. We're looking forward to that, aren't we? It's going to be far more beautiful than even Alturas in the springtime when we get to heaven. But I just want to encourage you to listen to these words, to know that Jesus is risen for you, to know that He wants to give you forgiveness of your sins if you've never trusted Him as Savior. Would you trust Him today? Invite Him into your life. Know that you have a family here that will be also in heaven. We'll walk on streets of gold. We'll have thousands of years, however long forever is. There's no end to that, of course. But we'll be there forever with the Lord because of the resurrection.